Blog Talk Radio. What you do is crazy, baby. Not like you belong in an asylum. Crazy, babe. Like the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Like the rain falling from the sky. Like the trees growing from the ground. I'm a soldier, babe. By your love for me. And your touch in me. And your trust in me. Like you do.
September. You Good evening. Welcome to Pitcher Day Universe Presents, the hybrid show of the Honey Drippers and the World Council. We're going to run back some of the past two of the Honey Drippers shows with some of the Honey Drippers in here. But I wanted to have some fun and throw down the War Council in here too. So it's going to be that kind of night. We're going to have terse discussions. We're going to open up everybody's mics. We're going to actually have everybody talk if they want to talk. You know, we have some discussion that we went on for War Council because we're going to do a really, really big War Council 2 weeks from now. So we're just prepping. This is just prep for the show because it's going to be fireworks. It's going to be bombs going off, people throwing grenades. Probably one of our most controversial War Council shows coming up. So, you know, I like to get the easy stuff out the way before we get to the heavy stuff. But keep everybody in mind. Keep everybody in mind. And plus, you know, having all these just come through and drop some of the stuff that they've been doing because absolutely the work has been phenomenal, what these poets have been writing. And it's also an open mic. So we'll be able to do all of these things. Discussion, dope poetry. Dope discussion, dope poetry, and the ability to actually interact with each other live. I'm sorry. My cough is like crazy. I just took some stuff, so it's making me cough more than I wanted it to. But in the meantime, in between time, I had to play some music, get the vibe right, get everything going, make sure stuff is happening and everything else is going. Now, if you are participating, make sure that you hit one so that I can see you with your hands up and I can open your mic and we'll go from there. All right, we're going to start out with a War Council discussion before we get to the open mic, so I just need you to understand that. We will be doing that before we get to the poetry, and you can feel free to participate in that portion of the discussion because it is important, because we're going to talk about some things and throw some topics that we had in the War Council that we've been kicking around. Our chats are super phenomenal. Information goes back and forth. And then we bring it out here to y'all and let y'all have at it. So, you know, it's a terse discussion. People will be coming in and out, you know, because people are all over the place. And we're going to rock out with our socks out. So I hope you're ready. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? And also, Raw Jewels. That's a new thing. Haven't seen the stuff, but I know it's probably fly, and I'm pretty sure the boss man can explain that himself. But get your stuff. Black owned businesses. That's what's up. Get your jewels. Get your all your stuff ready. Let's support each other. Let's be here for each other. And let's make it all happen, you know, while we're doing it. So, with that being said, let me grab some of my War Council people. Wait a second. Hold on. Okay. Lisa Lips, are you there?
I am.
Okay, well, let me reduce this. A smidgen. Smidgen. Reduce that so we can talk. We hear each other. Hold on. All right. Got you. Got Danielle, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Now, I see other numbers, but I got to check them as they come along. If you want to be a part of this upcoming discussion, press 1. The rules are, if you've not been to War Council, we do not, 1, curse people out if we disagree. We agree to disagree. 2, right? We don't talk over people. We wait our turn. 3, we mute our mics until we're actually being spoken to or we have a point to make. And you can say, may I interject? You know, we just be real, we're real simple around here, all right? So if I open your mic and you know, anything else is going on. Plus, I'm supposed to have a special guest. So if the special guest comes, then we're going to do the special guest thing. And then we'll get back to the regular scheduled program, but we're going to see how that happens. Hold on. Eric Code 251, who master speaking?
Yo, this is Jody, man. What's going on with it, man?
Hey, this is my special guest, Jody Joe. Jody made it. All right, so we are for special.
Mojave, what's going on with
it,
bro?
What's going on with it, Jody Joe? All right, so hold on. Let me get everybody going. Let me get everybody going first. Jody Joe. All right, hold on. Let me cut this music real quick. All right.
Hey.
So.
Hey. Bro, look, huh? I ain't by my keys, man. I ain't by my keys right now, man. I got tied up.
You
know what? Just for you, man. I say, well, if you give me 2 seconds, I'll play something for you, sure, right quick, man.
All right. So listen, all right. So everybody who's listening, right? This is Jody Frank, right? Jody Frank is phenomenal. He plays the keys in every way possible. He was like, yeah, I'm going to see if I can make the show tonight. And I said, it'll be a nice special treat for everybody to go through because, you know, if you know him, he calls himself the clubhouse musician. But he can really play. And so the cool thing is that we're working on some special projects and stuff like that. And he wanted to come through to the show. He's like, I'm going to try to make the show. So I was like, you know, if we get the special guest come through, and it'll be a treat for y'all, you know. We're not going to be here. He's not here for a long time. He's here for the short time. And he'll get everything done in the meantime. So if anybody else wants to participate, please press one on your mic so that you know. Jody, you let me know when you're ready to go, and we'll be rocking.
Okay, bro.
So I quite enjoy Jody playing because he literally plays everything underneath the sun. All right, sounds like he's gearing up.
Yes, sir, bro. Putting everything together.
All right. Sorry for all the silence. Hold on, let me just get some music in the background till he's ready. Well, I'm doing three things at once, of course, in the usual Mojave way.
Okay. There you go. Sorry about that. Let's see. All right, this should be it right here. You hear that pretty good.
That's good. All right. Everybody else in the crowd, can you hear me? Everybody else in the crowd, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
You can hear that, right?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm supposed to be over here, not dialing people.
Six, one, four, three, two, five, one, six. Is not.
All right. You ready? Ready, Jody?
Yeah, bro. I'm gonna go ahead.
Go right ahead. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
Good people all down, I introduce you to Mr. Jody Frank. Do you think?
Let's see. I got you.
I saw you standing, I saw you, I knew you. That's it, man. Gonna give another one, or that's it? I guess, bro, I'm gonna keep going.
Are
you there, bro?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here, Brody. Next time, I think what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to call you in so that it's much clearer so they can hear you, because it wasn't as clear.
It
as,
okay.
Yeah. So because it was a little muffled, but it was good. You can hear it. Like, you have to really listen to
it. Yeah, hey, we'll work on it, man.
This is the first time.
Man. Hey, you already appreciate it, man, too. You know, I appreciate me inviting me on, too, man.
Nah, I got you. Matter of fact, sorry, I hate this call. Matter of fact, that's what I think I'm going to do next time when you're ready, because I don't know how much time you got, but, you know, we're gonna go with the regular stated program, and then I'm going to call you. Next time, I'm going to call you so that you can play, and it'll be clear, because it'll be playing through the station, and I use a landline,
so
it's going to be that much clearer.
Okay. That was just hit me on that side then.
I got you. Don't even worry about it.
Man, that was
a
But, yo, I appreciate the love, too, man. I know I got to dip on out, but, yo, yeah, next time, man, shoot. You know, I love to be a part of anything, man. It's all love, bro.
Listen, I got you. You know what it is. And more importantly, you know, because anybody who's used to it, I know certain people have heard you play and understand, like, you know, we're only limited by the digital resources that we have, because when you put it down, you put it down. And that's all there is to it. So we're not even going to worry about it. It's the first time, you know, it's the first time we just eking out. The next time we're going to nail everything to the wall and keep the door shut. It's going to go down the way it's supposed to.
Right.
All right.
Man. Appreciate love, man, yo, and be safe, man.
Nah, you be safe, but more importantly, you know, we're going to holler out. I'm going to shout out his Cash App. I know y'all didn't hear that, but trust me, my bro could play everything, and that's the reason why we're going to try to get him. We're going to try to get him up from the sticks to the Northeast to see what he can do with it.
Man, appreciate it, man.
Give him a couple pieces, get him a band with some people who can play around him, see how far he can go, get knee deep into it. But, all right, so let me get all the people together. We all get back to the regular state of the program. Thank you, Jody, for coming through. I appreciate you. And I got
love,
you.
Bro.
All right? All love.
Love, bro.
All right?
All love.
All right. One love, one mic. All right, so back to the regular state of the program. That was Jody Frank. He's super dope. I can't wait to really get everybody involved in the whole process, because there's going to be something serious and magical at the same time. So that we know. Hold on. Now, where we at? All right. All right. We're going to put this in the background. Wait, Jody, you want something? Jody, you still there?
Oh, yeah, bro. Oh, you need me to get off?
No. I ain't asking you to get off. I'm just put you in the queue. You're going to be around. Just all you got to do is put me back to let me know. Huh?
Okay, bro.
All right, so I'm opening up people's mics to this discussion. For War Council, just in case you didn't know, War Council is the egalitarian, conscious, creative community panel that deals with issues, particularly pertaining to the African-American community. So we do talk about things. We do have great conversations. And it kicks off something fierce. So. Some people are participating. Thanks. So I'm run through real quick just to see who's here, who's rocking with us right now. I know Lisa Lips is here. I know Danielle is here. I know Van Meadows is here. I think I see VIP. VIP, are you in here? Hello? VIP?
I'm here, Javi.
Okay. I know Jay Rob is in here. And then we have some people that we threw up in here. Blaze is in here. I threw him over here. And essentially, Janice. Are you in here?
Hey, good evening.
Okay. So.
All right. And I'm online.
And Wendell,
too,
you're here. All right.
Yeah,
I got you.
So I'm here.
I wasn't sure if I got you because I didn't check. I didn't check the back channel. Anyway. And. The good brother Wendell is here, of course. We're waiting for a couple more people to join in. When they get the free time to do it, they'll do it. They'll join us in straight away. But all right, so we've been talking about a lot of things about roles in the War Council and different things and how people approach relationships and things of that sort. So therefore, okay, yes. Thank you very much. For the person who wrote me the back channel, yes, I understand that the sound was choppy. Forgive us. We were trying to do it. Oh, okay. all right, station manager, I hear you. All right, so I just had to listen to a few things because I had to check the back channel while I was on my way to the question. All right. Hold on a second. Let me grab the question. Okay, good. Got that. All right. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Now, here's the question for the War Council. All right, now, I posted this earlier. It said, I'm convinced, right, this person, Gianna Chinese, I'm convinced that men be scared of women when they got their shit together. Scared of women who got their shit together. Mm-mm. I'm convinced men be scared of women who got their shit together, right? So that was a general thing that happened. Seen by 41 people, only 7 comments. I think people thought it was like a minefield. They didn't really want to go through it too much, too tight. But here at the War Council, we don't shy away from these type of things. Your thoughts. And we can run this in PTR order if you'd like, and we'll see exactly how this is going to go. So, good brother Wendell. The question, I'm convinced men be scared of women who got they shit together. What is that saying?
That says to me that someone who would feel like that would see a woman maybe as either as a competition or as someone that he has to just rather being complimentary, you know, yeah, it's more of a competition as opposed to a compliment. Now, if you are not on your grind and if you are not hustling and striving to make your own, you know, dreams and aspirations and ambitions happen, then any type of relative success that you see in someone else would only serve to, you know, highlight your own, you know, potential apathy towards what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And then in that case, yeah, it would make sense that a person may be intimidated because the other person would be reflecting back to them what they haven't done for themselves. But if you're dealing with someone who is, you know, if you are actually, you know, working and handling your own and got your own, then another person's relative success, you know, that's not going to phase you. If anything, it'll make you want to hustle harder, you know, so that you can, you know, do more. But mm-hmm. but yeah, it's not intimidating to see a woman doing her thing and you know, not and feel like, no, I can't approach her because I'm not on that level. That would only be if you esteem her higher than you esteem yourself. And at the end of the day, all you can do is shoot your shot and give her the choice to say yes or no. And you got to decide to be okay with that either way. So, yeah, don't be married to the outcome. You got to just go through the process and let the chips fall where they may.
Hmm. That sounds dope. All right. Blaze, since you wanted to participate, what's your take on it?
I really didn't notice what I was in for, but myself, I mean, I feel as though if you are insecure within yourself and you don't know what things are going on in your life, of course, that is going to scare you because a woman that is striving to be the best woman she can be and the best person she can be for herself, she's not looking to take on a little boy. Or someone who's not prepared to deal with life in a professional sense, in a spiritual sense, in a mental sense, in a psychological sense, of course not in a financial sense. But you have to be willing to understand that whatever your downfalls are in life, those are the things you need to pick up on and work towards doing better for yourself. And so it may not be the fact that you're intimidated by her success, but you're intimidated by what success you've not allowed yourself to have, and you've not pushed forward for that. Hold on one second. I'm at work right now. You have a bag on your car. The bag is on your car. Okay, I wasn't sure if you knew. I wasn't sure if you knew that trash was on your car.
Oh, Blaze, we can come back
my
to
apologies.
You, bro.
Oh,
not a problem.
I'm sorry. So, again, you have to be secure within yourself to understand who you're supposed to be in life, what you're supposed to be doing in life, and the role you're supposed to be playing in life in the midst of doing what you're supposed to be doing for yourself. And if you don't know what you're doing in life and if you are unsure of yourself, those things will intimidate you when you see a woman who knows what she's gone, what she's been through and where she's going in her life. So, I mean, it shouldn't intimidate you, but if you are intimidated, it's because you're insecure.
Hmm. Okay. All right. All right, so we're going to move on to you two, Lisa Lips. What do you think? What's your opinion?
Like we were discussing earlier today, being male and being a man are two different things. Everything born male ain't a man. So if you got an issue with the fact that I'm doing well, then it's your issue. It's not mine. You haven't found your own manhood status. So that's why you're having a problem with my handling my own.
Mm. All right. All right. So, Danielle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I wouldn't so much call it an intimidation thing. I would say, yeah, it has a lot to do with being insecure. Most men that I know don't want a woman that doesn't have her stuff together. It's like a couple of gentlemen said, it's an insecurity thing. If they don't have their thing together or they don't feel as though they're up to par, they will feel a certain kind of way. But I don't know any men that are intimidated by women in any sense or fashion. But I do know a lot of men that have a lot of insecurity when it comes down to powerful women or women that actually have their stuff together and are striving to be the best version of themselves. Because these women, such as myself, are not taking the stuff. Don't come to me with no craziness because you don't feel adequate or that you are just not where you want to be in life. Don't come to me trying to make me feel some kind of way because of that. I don't think they find women intimidating. It's just a personal thing with them not feeling like they are where they should be.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, VIP, what's your opinion?
Okay, well, first of all, I have done it. I've been in that situation where I had the home, I had the car. You know, you get married, you have a child, and then, you know, you find that you're making more than him, which I did. And I just think he was just intimidated by, like, wow, like what I owned at the time. Okay, so I think, moreover, if you are doing better than someone, my overall thing is don't try to emasculate a man. That's not happening. So if you're gonna have someone in your life, that's something you don't do. I'm not a one to flaunt it, but I will let him know that, hey, I do everything, you know, mainly by the book, okay? I don't mess around. I'm a good money manager. I do everything. But if you're in a relationship with someone, you got to let them be a man. So, and I think they would be a little intimidated, but if you let them know that, hey, look, it's not just my world, it's your world, it's our world, then it shouldn't be too much problem. That's my opinion on it.
Hmm. That's pretty good. That's really good. We're going to go over to J-Rob. Cuzzo, what's your opinion?
Cuzzo, good evening.
Good evening.
I got two different things on this. When I was in my early 20s, like 20, 21, 22, 23, when I came out of college and I first worked for this lady at a printing company, black woman, was the only black woman at the company, and she made her status, you know, because she was, one, she was like 6'1", but she made, what she did made people feel really intimidating. And she made a grip, and she used to, you know, make that the impetus of why she was who she was, and like her money made her who she was. And at first, when you're in your early 20s and that person's in their mid to late 30s, yeah, you get intimidated. But it only took one instance to make it like, you know what, all you got is money. Big deal. Money don't take away the fact that you're an asshole. All right, you're wealthy. You got a nice crib on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. You flaunt for all these people that don't look like you. Back where I live, that's called flossing. And if that's what you want to do, cool. After that encounter, I was like, there's nobody on earth that can intimidate me because they make more bread than I do. Because if that's all you got going, okay. Why am I? I don't have reason to be intimidated over something I don't have that I can acquire. So when it comes to turn to a relationship, if you're going to use, if you're going to put that over my head to make a determination of whether or not I'm worthy of your attention, then you don't even need my attention. You need the attention of someone who's going to constantly, you know, lift your skirt and kiss your behind to let you know that you're everything that they wish they could ever have in a person. And that's the dumbest thing in the world for any man to be intimidated just because his lady makes too much, makes more money than he do. And I wasn't raised to be intimidated, so, nah.
All right, so
that's like being jealous. Got no reason to be jealous.
Wow.
Just get it together.
Well, this leads me to my second question. So the second question, which was brought up, and brilliantly so, they said, the question went, if you and your significant other split the bills, are you still considered a provider? So I'm going to just
wouldn't
reverse this and go back.
Wouldn't it depend
on
the size of the household?
Nah, just give your honest opinion. So are you still considered, if you split the bills with your significant other, are you still considered a provider?
That's hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuanced, but it really is not that deep, because if you are living, first of all, before you get with your spouse, you are living on your own, which means that you are 100%, you are 100% responsible for 100% of the household bills for which you incur, and your partner is doing the same thing, and they're household. When y'all make the decision to merge households, unless y'all are you know, moving everyone into one space, you know, she's moving into your space or you're moving into her space where the relative expenses are not increasing, and y'all opt to split bills, then yeah, you're still providing because the place is yours in the first place. Both of y'all are realizing a net financial benefit because both of y'all are saving money. It's a stupid thing to say that there can be no sharing of the load financially just because you're the man and you're supposed to be the provider. Because you provide other things as well. And to be quite honest,
and if she wanted, you know, if y'all wanted to maintain that degree of individuality and autonomy, then you probably should not be moving together in the first place. So, you know, that is one of, I think that's kind of a smokescreen question that is designed to try to highlight the differences as opposed to the complementary nature of, you know, two people making a decision to blend and merge their lives. I said, if you're trying to be single, then be single, and then you don't have to worry about anybody providing for you. If you're trying to be in a relationship where there's a partnership and a mutual benefit, then yeah, you're going to have grown up and adult conversations and make adult decisions that benefit both parties, not put one party at a deficit or a perceived deficit for the sake of ego. That's just dumb, you know.
All right, anybody else want to weigh in on this?
Well, the question that I would
hold,
have
hold
is,
on, hold on for a second, because Danielle was talking, we can barely hear her, so I'm going to mute this music real quick so Danielle can talk. Go ahead, Danielle.
I agree there, because you know what, there's such a stigma attached to that phrase, that word provider.
I can't really hear her.
You can't hear me?
No, you sound pretty far away. Well, to me, anyway.
Hold on,
y'all.
Yeah,
you sound better
right there.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, right there.
Okay, as I was saying, I agree. There is such a stigma attached to that word, because if you are in a relationship where you coincide, you live together, both parties are providing something. To narrow it down to one individual, unless the you go back to the old days where the man was just working and paying all the bills and providing all the essentials for the household, I don't see that as lessening anybody as being a provider, because the woman provides just as much as the man does. Even if she's not working and he's taking care of the bills and the necessities that are supposed to be in the house, she's providing the inside care, taking care of the house, making sure it's clean, making sure dinner is done. If you have children, providing the care and the mental well-being of the children. So that word provider, I think it's an overstatement, honestly. So that's my opinion.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Blaze. You were going to say?
Yeah. I would say that I would agree with both of them as far as the provider thing, because it makes it seem like it's only supposed to be put on one person. The only way I believe that somebody is not providing is that they're not doing anything. But in the midst of, like, if you're in a relationship, there is no way you cannot provide something, because somehow or another you have to take the load off of her. She has to take the load off of you, because one of y'all can't be at both places at the same time doing everything, and nothing is being done by somebody else. So I agree with Danielle with that being what she said, like as far as it being something that is just an overstatement. You can't. I really don't know how to explain it, but I feel as though both parties provide, and whether it be educationally, whether it be financially, whether it be spiritually, whichever the case, somebody is doing something to benefit the other parties within the household. And as long as everybody's working together for the betterment of the relationship, then you both are providers. That's the way I see it.
Okay. So So we're gonna go from you. We're gonna go to Lisa Lips.
Yeah, the idea of being a provider is more than just what monies you put into the house. There are things that need to be done to maintain a home. Are you putting in the effort to keep things the way they should be? In my mind, that makes you a provider as much as how many dollars you put into the account. If you're taking care of keeping the house running properly, or if you're taking care of making sure the cars are running so that everybody can get where they need to go, if you're doing the laundry and she's doing the cooking, everybody's providing something, you know. So, you know, it's not just a monetary thing. It's the provision you make for your family.
That sounds good. Did we hear from VIP? VIP, did we hear from you?
I'm going to just agree with everybody. I mean, everybody puts in a, you know, everybody does their share, and that makes everybody a provider to me. Now, if at one point in time, I was sole provider for everybody, and that was including my husband. So, you know, the house was mine indeed, but I said, no, this is ours. I made it ours, and, you know, things like that. But everybody, like everybody was stating, everybody has something to put or something to bring to the table. Now, and then if someone doesn't, then, yeah, you come sole provider, and for a while that might make a little somebody a little resentful. But if you just go with the flow and just keep talking it out to me, then you still provide. And even if you're not working at the time, I do believe it was Blaze said it, you know, you have to earn Danielle. You make sure the house is done. You make sure you cook. You make sure you clean while the other one does, you know, does the providing at that time. But it's all equal to me, but you have to make it that way. You can't just, you know, burn silently. You have to talk things through all the time. So everybody provides.
Absolutely.
And May I add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And like Lisa said, there's different ways of providing. And if you're not able to work, if the husband is home and the wife is taking care of the bills and she's working, then you're possibly cooking, cleaning. If the lights go out, you're making sure that you know what to do when the electric needs to be turned back on. If there's a toilet overflow, you're making sure that the plumbing is being taken care of. And like she said, the car breakdown, and, you know, if you people are needing to get back and forth to work, you're taking care of that. If you're not working, then you're adding to what needs to be done for the household. So either way, you're still providing for the household because you're making sure the house is up to par and things in the house. Even if you call yourself interior decorating, you're adding to what needs to help the house look pretty for your wife, if that's the case. And so you're doing different things that are maintenance things throughout the house that need to keep the house, you know, running the way it needs to. And so that just adds to the definition of a provider to me.
All right. I feel you. All right. So we all have an agreement that provider is not just limited to somebody who pays all the bills. It is someone who actually does things in multiple places. And, you know, I had the same answer before. It's good to see there's a good alignment. Now, moving on to part two of the discussion while we're here. Hold on, let me get this ready. So, I know we're all familiar with love languages, right? So, we all have our particular love languages. You know, everybody could, I'm pretty much go through, everybody can just say what your love language, your number one love language is. All right, so Wendell, what's your number one love language?
words of affirmation.
Blaze, what's yours?
Love and communication.
Lips, what's yours?
I'm the homemaker. I like to cook. I feed you.
So acts of
service. Like active service.
Okay. Danielle, what's yours?
All of them. But I do lean towards positive affirmation and acts of service more so than anything.
All right. VIP, what's yours?
I'm a combination. I like words of affirmation, physical touch, and acts of service.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cuzzo, what's yours?
You know what? I'm still trying to figure it out. Because this thing of... This is a new phenomenon, if you will, love languages. And there's some things that I like. Okay, then never mind. I couldn't really give you a good answer to that, cuz.
No, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I didn't.
It's cool.
Sorry about
it's cool.
that, John.
It's cool.
Well, mine is words of affirmation followed by gifts. I know when someone gives me a gift, I really get inside myself because I have to fight myself for the idea of thinking that I actually deserve it. Like when somebody does something out of the kindness of their heart, it really just does something to me because I grew up without people really doing stuff. Like something always had a cost to it. There was always a cost to it, you know? So the question, we had posted this in the War Council thing where, it was, I'm trying to open my phone up. It said, my love language is creating a sacred space for you to take off your armor. So let's break that down. See, this is what I need Dawood for, because he was supposed to be in here doing this. Well, he probably working because he been grinding like he ain't got no sense. I'm like, so you got like three night jobs in a row. Who does that? Anyway, what's your regular job? All right. So my love language is creating a sacred space for you to take off your armor. So it's a three-part question. What does that look like? Question part one, what does that look like? A sacred space for you to take off your armor. The second part of this, right, have you been in a sacred space with someone to take off your armor? And three, have you created a sacred space for someone to take off their armor? And I'm not going to go in order. I'm just going to throw it out there. Whoever wants to answer first.
That's a deep question. That's a deep three-parter, number one.
It is a deep three-parter.
First of all, I didn't.
Sorry. Hold on. Wait. So who's the first person to talk? Was that VIP or was that Lips? Who was it?
Yeah. That was me.
It was VIP?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead. You were going to answer. Go ahead. Go answer.
Okay. First of all, in deference to John, I'm just digress for 1 second that the languages of love is not a new thing. It's not a new concept. It might be to you, but it's been out for a very long time. Now, to get to the question, I don't think I've ever felt safe enough that or someone has provided a space for me. Many times I have provided one for them, okay, where I could let them totally be themselves, but something in me always held back. I just didn't feel safe enough. Now, right now, I have a friend, and for the first time in my a very long time, I actually feel safe. And I guess it's because he doesn't know anybody I know, and I don't know anybody he knows. And then also, too, he just lets me express myself totally without any reservation. And he's not non-judgmental, whereby that makes me feel good enough to say, well, okay, well, this is how I feel today, or this is what's bothering me, because I have a lot on my plate right now, and, you know, and I'm allowed to vent, and that's, and that makes me feel pretty damn good. So that's the three-parter.
Okay. All right, that's the three-parter. Okay, anyone else would like to hop in? Although I'm going to say for the record, VIP, you could have hit John back channel with that, with the love language thing. You could have said that.
Yes, that part. But it's okay.
You
know. I'm gonna give you
the pass and the two-step on that one, because you know, I was like,
Anyway,
but I love you anyway. I love you anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it.
All
right. So hey, who else wants to hop in? Who else wants to hop in?
I'd like to hear the question again.
The question is, what? All right. Y'all keep making me have to open my phone. All right. So, my love language is creating a sacred space for you to take off your armor. What does that look like? Has someone done it for you, and have you done it for someone?
Okay, cool. Whoever that lady was that was getting ready to speak, go ahead. I'll answer after her.
Well, Lisa Lips?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I kind of agree with what VIP said. I've always been the person who provided that space, but I've never really had that space. I attempted to trust my now ex-husband in that way. When we first got married, and I told him a whole bunch of stuff about my life, and the following weekend we went to visit his parents, and he had told them everything I said, and then they were giving me advice on how I should handle my issues. And from that point on, I was done with talking about anything with him that I didn't want the entire family to know. You know, that was the beginning of our end, because I couldn't trust him, because he didn't take what I said as anything safe. I think your love language is to provide a sacred space. You should also be able to expect that as well, and be able to be that diary for the person that you care about, and they can be yours.
Hmm. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Danielle was gonna go, and then
yeah,
go. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. My situation, pretty much my whole life was the same way. I've never felt safe. I've always been on edge because I had an abusive childhood. I got into abusive relationships, and I've never felt like there was a safe space provided for me, because there wasn't. But I have always given that to people. To this day, I still do. People find it very easy to confide in me, and because they know I carry it to the grave. But they also know it's just very easy to talk to me or just to be around me. I'm like a comfort zone, but I've never had it. No. Even throughout my marriage, I never had it. My husband was a narcissist, a womanizer, and a whoremonger. So, I've never had that. But I have always provided it.
All right. Well, I'm jumping in and I'll just say that. What does it look like? You know, it looks like giving someone or creating a space where someone is free enough to tell the truth as well as their truth. And I think that, that truth is something that that people will tell when they are no longer fearful or worried about rebuke, retaliation, retribution, ridicule, or reprisal. It's very easy for people to be judgmental and to have an opinion about something that is inherently you, that is about you. People have a tendency to make what you say about them instead of just allowing you to speak where you are in that moment. And when that happens, then the safety and the vulnerability that you are looking for is stripped from you, which then becomes a disincentive for you to access that space with that person again. So to say that my love language is creating a safe space for you to take off your armor, it's saying that that I am aware that you are having your own unique experience in this moment, and you will continue to have your unique experiences going on into the future for as long as you and I are relating with each other. And I consciously want you to know that it is okay for you to be your authentic self with me and not fear that I will use that information against you, that I won't weaponize it, that I won't use it to tear you down, and that I won't use it to destroy you when you are making yourself vulnerable to you for the purposes of being built up. That being said, in my current degree of evolution, I try to walk into all my interactions with people, whether they are partners of mine, friends of mine, or associates and acquaintances, with that degree of cognition at the forefront of my mind. And as I give that to people, I find that it expands them, you know, to a certain extent, to understand that they have more of a capacity to reciprocate that to me than what they previously would have known about. And so it makes it easier for me to receive that from people when I give it to them. I can't say that it's something that I've had all throughout my life, but it is something that I'm consciously inserting into my relationships now, and I am seeing it come back to me.
That's what's up. I'm doing like three things in the background. Or something like that. But you're kind of far away from the phone, wherever this is.
Yeah, no. Well, I had it on speakerphone because we were doing certain things.
Okay.
But as far as that's concerned, but for me in particular, I'd be like, yeah, you just tell you. I'm going to just expose my whole colon. Y'all can see my colon from here. No. but the idea of I talk with Danielle about this all the time, it's giving out a relatively safe energy, like to radiate a safe energy. Like I feel like I have to protect everyone around me, even if there's like something that's happening. I feel like it intimately is my problem that I have to fix it because it makes me feel better because I suffer from anxiety and guilt in the worst ways, in the worst ways ever, right? And so sometimes I have to tell myself like, yo, this is not what it is. But for me to feel safe with someone, because I have a fundamental disbelief in almost everything, you know. And as positive as I am, I can be equally as negative when it comes to love because I've had my armor stripped. I've had my armor taken from me. I've had myself cracked. I've been cracked like an egg and poured out and fried like so many different times by the same person, by the same person. And I kept going back. I kept going, hey, let's do it again. Hey, I just got this armor. It's real shiny. You want to crack it again? Yeah. So, hey, come on, let's do it. And so, for me, I want to be safe. I want you to be safe. I want you to feel safe. So I want you to be able to feel as safe as possible with me, because I want to be a safety zone. I so much want to be like we repeat the language that we want for ourselves by acting for what we want. So there's an indeterminate amount of safety that I have because I seek it. Like, so my cousin has, Wolverine and Batman, did their show last week, and he said, y'all write poetry because, and I said, I write poetry because I hunger for love. I hunger. And the hunger comes from this indeterminate desire for the safety of being able to take off my armor and being able to be so open that I don't have any fear of exposing my vulnerabilities and feeling safe with someone who will love me despite those vulnerabilities. So I know what it looks like. And the times when I actually had it, I was so busy dealing with the negative because it's so deep-rooted. Like, I was so busy trying to go back to my inner child and heal my mother that I would pick people who were broken, and they were literally walking around as glass shards that every time I hugged them, I bled. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I'm going through that as we speak right now, so I know.
So as I hugged this person, and I had the nerve to procreate with them, which is probably one of the greatest things I ever did in life, right? I had the nerve to procreate with them being broken and shattered and understanding their brokenness, knew how to manipulate the situation. So every time I got some armor, they cracked me, and I let them because I was used to it. I liked it. There's no other way around it. You can't keep going back to it unless you want it. And until you recognize the difference, until you actually do it, and you understand, like, it took that person taking everything from me. It took them taking every single thing from me and smiling and being happy about doing it to me. That nothing I did mattered. That I decided in that point. So now my new decision is I have a serious fundamental disbelief because you got to prove some things to me. You got to come with it. You got to come with it. Because I just be like, nah, you got to come with it. I'm like, I've been through this before. You know, I got abandonment issues. I sound like Kung Fu Kenny talking. But my love language is words of affirmation, right? Because they coat, soothe, relieve, right? It's Pepto-Bismol for my soul. It's nice. But more importantly, good for my heart, helps everything pump, makes my soul go a little bit more, right, makes me do certain things. And the other thing is, like, I don't mind creating the space of safety because I'm going to give you what I need, and the only way to get what I need is to give you what you need, and that would be the exchange of power that I seek. I don't talk too much. I just opened up my whole colon. My colon is open right now. Yeah, colonoscopy.
It was good.
It just happened.
It was really good.
Give me this colonoscopy real quick. Right. Let me try to sound like Wendell. Wendell is super intelligent. You be like talking to him. You be like, you ever talk to somebody, you need a dictionary to talk to him? Like, let me talk to Wendell with this dictionary real quick. Let me just talk to him. Like, hold on, let me get this dictionary. You know, he'd be saying some things. Anyway, but that's what that looks like. All right, but love language is really, really important. Like, it's so, like, anything that happens, like, sometimes we're trying to figure it out ourselves because a lot of us don't even know what love language is because some of us didn't get love. Like, and I'm not saying I didn't get it from my parents. I'm just saying, like, some of us are figuring out what love looks like. So, in question, before we go in here, we got to hear some poems and good stuff and get to the
Let me chime in, I guess.
Wait, hold on. I wasn't done with the question. You can't chime in until I finish.
No, I didn't get a chance to even speak. I didn't get to answer this part or put my input on.
Oh, you didn't?
Part.
My bad. Go ahead. My bad. Then that's my fault. Please answer the question. No, please. No. I apologize. It's my bad. Please answer the question.
Okay. Honestly, I'm unsure. I know what my love language is, like I say, love communication. But when you're thrown in the fire, in grease and fire, in the midst of a family feud, and you're trying to carry that same perception, it tends to get a little, I ain't gonna say little, it tends to get tainted completely. And trying to minimize a high volatile argument between people that you know that you care about, that you love, and they're snapping at each other to the point where it's really about to get really ugly, and you're trying to carry that same mindset within the situation at hand, and you're trying to calm one person down, and the other person is coming at the person you're trying to calm down, then you turn around and trying to calm that person down, and in the midst of you're trying to maintain that balance, and it's kind of hard to maintain that balance, and I'm trying to get everybody to listen with one accord. Let's look at love. Let's communicate, you know, because that's the only way we're going to get through what we're going through right now, but you guys don't want to listen because you want to say what you want to say over topping what they want to say, and then they want to holler over top of you and make their point known, and nobody's getting their point across in the middle of it. And I can't allow them to attack each other. And so I have at that point my suit of armor on as well, but I'm getting pierced. Either direction, so I'm catching the heat from everywhere. So I don't know. I'm stuck in between what love language is in the midst of a battle that you're intervening in, and you can't seem to stop it. I'm lost when it came to that part of my love language, because the people in your family, the people that they're closely connected to, are the ones you show the most love to. And when that goes awry, it's like, okay, so how do I express this for real when I don't know. So maybe I need somebody to answer that for me.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm on freaking speakerphone. All right. So certain things I'm going to tell you, like there's one, sometimes when we're trying to figure out what we're doing with ourselves and we're in an environment, because a lot of times we learn a lot of our behaviors, our actions, who we are, our responses all come from our nurturing, our upbringing. So sometimes you got to get an outside coach or somebody or a therapist to help you to analyze, break down, and build, and to give you certain tools, because it's really just tools for you to do, and tools only work unless you use them. So I mean, like nobody here can really answer the question for you, because we're not professionals, like in that sense. We're professionals in all fields, mm-hmm. but not in that particular thing. But when people are yelling over you, they're not concerned with hearing anything. They just want to be right, and they want to be heard. And whatever that person is on the inside is screaming out, and that's the reason why they respond to that. Some people also use it as a tactic to stop you from talking because they don't want to face up to or face down whatever is being said because it hurts them equally as well, or they don't want to take accountability for their actions. All right. You're only responsible for you. Period. Point blank. Whatever mm-hmm. you do, whatever actions you take is on you. All right. So you right. have to be the person that says, let me heal me before I go and try to heal everybody else because it's never going to work any other way. You have to be about the business of you before you can be about the business of anybody else. And if you're caught in the middle of certain things, it's because people know that they can pull on you emotionally from each side. And they know that they can manipulate you, right? There's a thing about manipulation that happens. Even in the most innocent of manipulation, it's still a manipulation. So when people know that they put you in the middle and you can't choose, that means there's no solutions being made for whatever the problem is. You have to address the problems that exist for you so that you can go forth and be healed and not have to worry about it or drag whatever it is in your past out there. Because sometimes, you know, some people bring their past with them and hit you over the head with it every chance they get. That happens.
That's
just
true.
You know.
Yeah, that sounds true, right.
You know, and so, for example, so Wendell just dropped this in here real quick. He said the UPLV communication, get this book. It really helps with creating a framework for self-space. And it's Kenya Kane, Carl Stevens. Wendell, can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Up-level communication is how it's technically pronounced, but it is about rules of engagement for better communicating of especially when you're in a vulnerable or emotional place. A lot of times when people have ineffective communication, it's because they're not ready to engage in the communication that one party is needing or wanting at a particular time. And so when, you know, when there's that emotional dump that, you know, that happens and you're not prepared for it, then it is impossible or highly unlikely that you're going to respond to it in an optimal, loving, and supportive way that makes the person who is doing the dumping feel like it is safe for them to, you know, to unload around you. So both parties have a role to play in creating that safe space, and this book gives some practical tools and guides for creating the space to have those conversations, which will then lead to not only the creation of that space where you can take off that armor, but then it also allows you to focus on whatever the issue is as opposed to focusing on the feeling about the issue. Because you can't solve feelings, but you can solve issues. And if you can work together to solve an issue, then that fortifies the relationship as opposed to venting solely about the feelings, which can really only tear you down, tear people down.
Okay. And what's the name of the book again?
Up-Level Communication by Kenya K. Up-level. And Carl Stevens.
Kenya K.
Yes, Kenya K. Stevens and her husband, Carl Stevens. They are the founders of the Progressive Love Academy. Those in the world of polyamory are probably going to be more familiar with them as opposed to those who are strictly monogamous.
Up-level communication.
Yep, up-level communication.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, so that'll definitely work itself out. All right. So just for the record, I don't know if any of the drip is in here. If y'all are in here, press 1 so that I know that you're here. If not, we're going to continue on because we rocking over here. We rocking over here, and it's going down. So until I see something different, then I'm going to go, hold on for a second, get back into this, to what you call it, hold on for a second, here we go, let me see, all right, so every time I turn around, it's like, it just takes me way out, and now I have to come all the way back in, so, put my face in my phone, open my phone, and then do all the other stuff that has to happen. All right. Ooh. All right, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Oh, man. Here's a seriously good one. Y'all ready? All right. All right.
Let's get it.
Despite being a dominant woman, I become submissive when a man is doing the right things.
Absolute.
Being a dominant woman, I become submissive when a man is doing the right things. So, ladies, can,
speak on
can
it,
you
ladies.
Address this?
I wouldn't
ladies,
call
can
it,
you address this?
I wouldn't use the word submissive. I use the word soften. Because a dominant woman usually seems a little rough around the edges, kind of hard, and she has a tendency. I mean, you can use submissive, because it just means to agree. But most women will soften around the right man, for the right man, if he's doing the right thing for her, playing his part, as we say. She will definitely soften up for him and just be the lady that she's supposed to be in his life instead of being that take charge all the time. I got to do this. I got to do that. Don't worry. I got this. So, yeah, she will. Definitely.
Okay. We're going to go from you go to Lips. What do you think?
I agree with what she said. In the right situation, the right man can get that soft side of me, but it's not something I just hand over. It's something that has to be earned. I have to know that I can trust you before I can give up holding on to the reins of things, because we all have that self-preservation thing, and if I don't feel like you have my best interest at heart, then I'm going to continue to hold on to the reins because I'm not going to let myself be drug under.
Right. Yes, definitely.
Oh, okay, gentlemen. Let me go to my cousin. Cousin, what do you think about that?
You got to repeat the question to me, bro. I faded.
The question is, despite being a dominant woman, I become submissive when a man is doing the right things.
I don't know how to answer that, dog. I ain't never been a woman. And I'm a cat who's always doing the right thing by the women I've dealt with, so I don't know how to answer that.
All right, let me reframe the question for you. Let me reframe the question for you. What are the right things that you think that a man needs to do in order to have a woman become submissive?
Too hard to say, man, because every relationship is so vastly different from one another. There's no blueprint to say if you do A, B, C, D, this is going to be the keys to success, or if you avoid 1, 2, 3, 4, these are the things that's going to make this relationship successful. The subtle nuances of every relationship bring about their own challenges and bring about their own praises. And what turns one lady off is going to be acceptable to somebody else. So, excuse me, for me, it's too difficult to say.
Hmm. Okay.
There really is no one answer to fit that.
Okay. Well, we're just gonna kick it around the walk. Well, Council, I'm gonna go to Blaze and then to Wendell, because you know we're gonna see what happens. So Blaze, what do you think a man needs to do in order to have a woman become submissive to him?
In one regard, like this is some multiple answers to this question, but and kind of agree with forget what his name is, it was just on. So I agree with his statement on top of I guess to see things that need to be done prior to her having to tell you and then complete them fully. Like if you see something that needs to be done around the house, or if you're working on something in the house, don't leave it undone and then procrastinate for however long and not get it done, because that, to me, I've seen it, has led women to whining about, well, you didn't do this and you didn't finish that and you need to get to this. And so if you're going to start something, complete it to its full succession. If you're helping out with something, make sure you stay there throughout. But then again, it goes with the relationship too. So like, even if you're doing these things and you're adding to what you think needs to be done, depending upon a female, you could be taken advantage of that by that female, because she feels the need that, well, I got a sucker, I can make him do what I want. You know, if he's doing this, he's doing that, then I can do this and I can do that. Or if he's giving me money for me and myself and do whatever, then I can splurge me and my girlfriend. And if you guys are making the same amount of money, then she just takes on a notion that your money is my money and my money is my money. So I'm not spending my money, but I will spend yours. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's give and go. You're not really sure, depending upon the female that you're dealing with. So I guess that would be my answer. Like, you're sure on one hand and you're not so sure on the other hand, because all people are different. Every female is different, just like every male is different. So I don't know.
All right. So, Wendell.
Yeah, this question, it makes me think about the symbol for yin and yang, and how it's a circle, but there's, you know, there's two complementary pieces that link together to form that circle, and those symbols circle each other. It's almost like I can let my little anime come out in Avatar, The Last Airbender, at the end of the first season, the Siege of the North, and the koi fish circling each other in the spirit water pond, and how it was explained that they are push and pull, yin and yang, good and evil. They circle each other in an eternal dance, and that has been the nature of their relationship for all time. That's how it is with men and women. And you can either focus on the circumference of that circle, or you can focus on the diameter. And the diameter is where you have the most connection between the yin and the yang. So you can either focus on the extremities, or you can focus on the commonalities. So I would just say that, you know, what do you have to do in order to get
a woman to submit, or however the question was framed, is really not. I don't want to get submission. I just want to get cooperation, and I think that is probably the better way to frame that, because neither one is greater than the other. They're complementary as opposed to confrontational energies, you know, between masculine and feminine. So I don't need my counterpart to be underneath me as much as I need my counterpart to be complementary to me. And that is going to come from being intentional about discovering and unlocking her unique combination. So becoming a student of her, and showing and demonstrating that you are focused on learning what makes her tick. Because when I believe that when a woman in particular, when a person in general, but a woman in particular, feels like she is prioritized and valued enough to be focused on, then that does enable her to relax into that femininity, which is, I believe, by nature, more complementary, and so softer. And the softness is there to accommodate the hardness or the roughness, you know, that may come along with that masculine energy. So yeah, just focusing on learning her unique combination, and not approaching her as a, you know, as a monolith of all women, because all women all women are not a monolith. Every woman has her own combination. The things that in her life that have made her uniquely her. And when she knows and feels and understands that that is of value to you, that she is of import, then I think you'll find yourself much more likely to get the cooperation, you know, that you may be seeking for.
Mm. All right, so we just had two calls added in. Area code 248. Who master speaking?
This is Elsie.
This is who?
Me.
I'm sorry. My phone was going out when you were saying your name. Could you say
this
it
is
one more time?
Elsie.
Elsie? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So okay. I agree with the previous callers. But what I wanted to add is that I remember reading a quote of once a long time ago that submission is the greatest form of trust. So if you have a woman that's dominant, that trusts you, she is going to fall into that role because she trusts you. So it goes back to the entire conversation on love language and understanding that safety. So if a woman trusts you, of course she's going to submit to you, because it deals with yielding to you and the things that you want for both of them. If she trusts that you're going to guide her in a way that's going to be safe for her, is an easy thing to do.
Mm. I like that a lot. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the conversation. Is this your first time on the War Council?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. We always like people coming in new to listen to us. Normally we do War Council once a month here, probably the second Tuesdays here, but I've been mixing it up and combining things because I think it's fun and it keeps me from being bored. But more importantly, we get to have these really good conversations about these topics, and we also have a group on Facebook. So if you can friend me. My name is real easy to find, MOJAVI, EMI. Friend me, and we'll add you to the group. And you can call in here, because Epiphany has something going on every day of the week for interesting topics and everything else that's going on. But I like your answer. Absolutely. And I think that safety is always the issue for anyone. And if someone feels safe with you, it makes it much easier for them to be vulnerable. And that goes, you know, either way. And I really like the analogy of the yin and yang and the fish for Avatar, because for The Last Bender, Avatar, The Last Airbender, because that idea, the push and pull, the yin and yang, you know, when people are wholes within themselves and then able to recognize each other and push and pull each other, it creates a whole new dynamic, which creates a wholeness for the both of them that they already share, but combined together. So that's pretty dope. And Elsie, what you said was super dope. Everybody's been saying some incredibly good stuff. Y'all got to get this playback. It's going to be really dope. So last question of the night. And we're currently at 10:51, and it is a school night. So here's the last question for the evening. All right, short answers over. short answers only. All right. Could you? Right, because somebody sent me this question, and I'm just going to share it with y'all. Could you stay in a relationship with a person that meets all of your needs, every single one, except your intimate needs?
Lord have mercy.
No.
Listen. Everything underneath the sun, everything, mental, spiritual, you know, they just.
So we going to play chess and I'm going to masturbate? No.
Why? Wait.
Lord, you done set him off. Oh.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna have me out altogether.
I'm sorry, folks.
No,
Come back, man.
I'm sorry. I apologize to all the listeners. That's my cousin. I know exactly the face he made when he said that. I know the exact face. I knew the way he said it. And this was making me. Oh, Jesus.
I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Come back to the light, Hav. I'm trying really hard.
There you go. Breathe, brother. Breathe.
Take your time, baby.
Ooh. Okay. All right. You back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. And
I can
heard Danielle left in the background. But go ahead. Answer the question.
I would answer differently because I'm polyamorous. So I would say yes, because I think that fundamentally it is impossible and unrealistic to expect any one person to be another person's all-in-all and everything at all points in time. So I believe that relationships are a part of, are that it is inherent that you are sorting and negotiating in all your dynamics. So you don't have to throw an entire person away because they don't check off all buttons or all boxes. You know, you value them for who they are and what they bring to the table. And then you're able to, you have the opportunity to cultivate whatever your other needs are in other ways, in other areas, through other relationships. And I find that to be a much more practical and realistic and successful model rather than putting the pressure on one person to be everything, you know, everything and all in all. And I think that that's just that can be a recipe for disaster when there is expectation put on someone beyond their capacity. So.
Okay. Okay. Wow. So, polyamory. That's a significant answer. Anyone else? Matter of fact, let's ask Elsie. Well, who said been there, done that?
Go ahead, ask it. Me. Go ahead.
No, who said that?
It's
Danielle.
Okay, I'm sorry. My ears is full. Like I was popping earwax from laughing so hard. Anyway. Okay, go ahead, Danielle. Answer the question.
I've been in a relationship like that. And where everything was given to me. They were almost perfect, but the intimacy didn't allow the lack of intimacy. It was actually non-existent. There was great conversation. I felt protected. The money was good. Everything, but there was nothing, no kissing, no nothing. And we wound up being good friends, but I had to leave that relationship because I was always longing for that touching, that kissing, that physical intimacy. And I never got it, and I knew I wasn't going to get it. And it hurt to separate from this person, but I just couldn't do it, and I wouldn't do it again. You can make a relationship like that work, but eventually you're going to either cheat on that person or just leave them alone altogether, because you cannot be in a relationship that's going to last without getting some form of intimacy from them. At some point or another, we are created to be loved and touched and be intimate with one another. Okay, I don't care what else you do to the table. We need that. We need it in our lives, or we just can't be around that person. You can't tell me you love me, and I can't touch you, or you can't touch me, or we just can't be next to one another, be close. And have where's the energy? You can't even have tantric sex with a person like that, and that's an energy exchange, totally different. I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't do it again. Plain and simple. Mm. I don't think it'll work.
All right. So hold on, we got 60 seconds. If you're listening, you know you have to call in. The number is 319-527-6300, press 1. And pretty much, anyone else have something to add to this? I wanted to go to Elsie. I wanted to get her opinion on it.
Honestly, Elsie? My answer is no as well.
You like no. Everybody's like, hell no. Like, no, I got to touch you. I got to seal you. Hold on.
Now, is this to say that the intimacy that one is craving and not getting is solely physical and sexual, but everything else is there, or is there just intimacy of another degree that can be expressed and be deemed valuable?
I mean, it's everything except sex. It's everything except sex. That person is the perfect pair. Everything except sex.
Okay. Yeah. Understand who and what they are and where they are, and then decide if that is something that you can deal with, and if you can't, it's cool. You know, You can opt to keep them in a different orbit or give them a different relative value in your life, or you can just throw them completely away and go try to find all of that in one total package in another person.
But you don't have to have all of that in a person. We are sexual creatures by nature. We're going to be with someone and be without that. It just doesn't work right like that. You don't have to throw that person away. Like I said, the one that I was with that just didn't provide that for me, that sexual thing for me, we stayed very good friends up until he passed away. I just couldn't continue to be with him in that way. I couldn't be in a relationship with him because I need to be touched, and it's natural.
So,
that's the way it's supposed to be.
And I think you actually just kind of proved my point, is that you didn't throw them away. You just course corrected and relegated them to a space in your life where they could serve a purpose. It's just that purpose was not sexual. You, as a natural red-blooded autonomous Homo sapien, you know, need to be touched, and we all do. We all need to feel sexual fulfillment. It just wasn't going to be with that person, but their inability to touch you and meet that sexual need did not render them valueless. It was just that their value was not on that level. So you still have a relationship with them. It is just not a sexual relationship. It's a friendship, and that is part and parcel of what my whole premise is that you that if you love someone, or if there's a relationship dynamic that exists, then that dynamic serves you on some level. And just because it doesn't serve you on all levels doesn't make it pointless or futile or whatnot. But what I hear a lot, or maybe what I am interpreting from what I am hearing, is that if a person cannot or is not fulfilling this particular need, even though all of their other attributes are wonderful, that they, I cannot have or be in a relationship with them, as opposed to saying I cannot be in a intimate sexual relationship with them, but I can still relate to them because they provide value in my life. That's the issue. And that's the framing and the posturing that makes a lot of relationships end up, dissolving, because all boxes are not being checked. So because all boxes are not being checked, none of them are valid. And I just don't think that's a meaningful way to relate to other, to relate to human beings, especially knowing that we all have a need for connection. It just means that person doesn't connect in this particular way. Their piece of the puzzle doesn't jive with another piece that you have. So, but you, if they still have value in making the whole picture come together.
So let me wait real quick.
I said that they all the pieces, serve a purpose in making the total picture come together. It's like if you've ever had a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle, and there are on a piece there are some male connectors and female connectors, and you can't necessarily force a male connector into every female connector. There is another piece that they snugly fit into, and that connection serves to make the entire picture come together. But just because a piece does not fit in one particular place doesn't mean that it is not relevant to the entire picture. So it's about putting people in their proper places in order for the picture to come into fruition. You can't throw away a puzzle piece simply because it doesn't fit where you want it to fit. Otherwise, you jeopardize the entire picture coming to fruition.
Well, yeah, if you want to specify what kind of relationship, see, we assume that he was something about being in a particular kind of relationship. Mojave didn't specify what kind of relationship
it is.
I did not specify.
But for the sake of the argument, let's just say the person wanted to be monogamous with that particular person. That's why I was like, you know, I felt like maybe anything else, but I had to ask the question as it was given. I didn't put any particular weight to it or gravity to it, you know, because me, I would have been like, yeah, you've got to be monogamous or anything else, because I said the perfect answer for him is like, yo, you just relegated the roles, which he spoke to it like, yo, you just gave it a different value to the relationship. You still have value. You're just not going to be in a intimate sense with that particular person, which is what happens, you know. But sometimes, you know, we have to look at things, because here's a question for the panel. I mean, we'll just, you know, because it's after the thing, you know, have people fuck their friends. I mean, have you had a friend that y'all were friends, but y'all fucked? Y'all, you slapped little Johnny behind the ear. You slammed the ham. You did the thing.
I couldn't get a monogamous relationship with someone. That means they have exclusivity to me, and I'm not getting one of my needs met. No, I couldn't be in a monogamous relationship with someone like that. No. It's not going to work for me.
Who said that, Elsie or Danielle? I couldn't.
Danielle, I'm too hot in the ass. I'm sorry. It ain't going to work for me. Nope.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, he agrees with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Blaze, put it down.
Don't pick it. Do not pick it up, Blaze.
My bad.
I saw you grabbing for the cup and it was hot. I'm just trying to help you out.
My bad.
Trying to help you out.
that whole ideology, man, just really it baffles my mind that we as social creatures in need of connection will date and mate and relate plurally, but somehow think that that singular commitment is supposed to replace or fulfill the perceived void that would be left when we stop dating and mating and relating plurally. That just boggles my mind.
It bothers your mind, but see, the problem is you're deep like Jacques Cousteau, so you're gonna have to get it into layman's terms for everybody, so that Wait. Let me just run through it. So Blaze, what did you say? I'm gonna go that way from where I heard. So Blaze, what did you say?
I didn't say a thing. I've been sitting up here listening to everything.
Oh, okay. Then that was J-Rob. I'm sorry. My bad. Blaze is like, I've been here with my pen and pencil writing down notes. Get these notes down real quick. Hold on for a second.
Ain't no sense in breaking it down in layman's terms. What the brother said made sense. The point of layman's terms, and everything that he just laid out made a hell of a lot of sense.
Well, it's true. My thing is this, right? Is we're like society cultivates us. Society really cultivates us to believe in this false idea of American dream that's supposed to work for all of us when it's never built for any of us. It was only built for us to sell us into certain things. It's the same thing in our relationships. You know, we're taught to suffer and not to actually figure out what serves us. And I think, well, one of the things that I think that works in certain dynamics, and particularly, you know, polyamory or anything else, is because it teaches you to seek out partners that fit, that you can Lego block with. That's the best way I can describe it, right? That you can Lego block with, that each of you can serve each other's things, serve each other. And, you know, there's different things that people do in their particular relationships that work for them. Like, I had a dope conversation with a poet last night because, you know, they're getting ready to come on the Fly Speak. But we were just talking, and they were like, listen, I did marriage. I'm not doing marriage anymore. I'm not into possession. You can't possess me. I'm nobody's possession. We're in agreement. We are about agreement. And it's agreement and connection. And she was laying it down. Like, she was telling me stuff. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, wow. Well, she's like, I'm into agreement. You can't own nothing about me. She's like, either we agree or we don't agree. And how we connect tells me the level of how our engagement is going to be. I said, that's the crazy shit I done heard, but it was the dopest shit I heard, you know, because she let it be known. She let it be known off the top. She's like, you know, and she's just telling me the story. I'm sitting here like, I was like, damn, like, for real. And she's like, she talks about her marriage, how the marriage failed and all this other stuff and everything else was going on. And it's the simplest things that we do as men that fuck shit up easy. Because we just do shit as men. We don't think about the thing. We just think about, I'm a man. I'm supposed to do this as a man. And that shit fucks shit up. And then to the point where it's about agreements and stuff like that. So people have a lot of different ways that they're interacting and connecting to people. Because Wendell kept saying that. So, you know, to the point where it's like, you see people. And it's like certain people, they're like, yo, listen. They can't be like, yo, that's my girl. They'd be like, oh, that's somebody who I deal with. I'm like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, I deal with that person. Really? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So has anybody ever heard that before? I just deal with that person. We're dealing, you know, not related.
Yep.
Not a situationship. Not a situationship.
Every guy that has ever played on a woman's feelings and emotions that's in the streets has said that to the next chick that he's dealing with. Now, it shifts as you get older because your playpen tends to either broaden or get a lot shorter. But we've all said that term.
Way to state that there's a connection, and that connection is unique to the people that are in that connection. Like I honestly believe that relationships are not things that we should get into; they are things that we should create. We have the right and the responsibility to create a dynamic and a relationship that serves us. In so doing, it should serve the person that you are relating with. Anything else over and above that is pretense, and it is more for social acceptance rather than it is for, you know, functional relevance to the people in the relationship. Because who are you in a relationship for? Are you in it for everyone else outside of your relationship, or are you in it for the people that are in the relationship because you are trying to do something and build something together that is unique to you two or you few, or however many people are in that dynamic? We do too much to get validation and social acceptance from people that are ultimately irrelevant to what it is that we're doing, and it's a function of conditioning. You know, when you are taught that only one way of relating is acceptable and is the way to go, and that there are no other viable options to create what you want, then you end up creating a polarity that says that this is right and that is wrong, and everyone who does not conform to what is right is wrong. And you know, I don't think that is a authentic and plausible.
It's not authentic, but it's a system at work.
We know that exactly. And you can conform to the system, or you can rage against the machine. You can be a part of the matrix, or you can be a part of Zion.
I wanted to say that. I was like, you know, people be out here in the relationship matrix. Oh, that's what we should call the next one, the relationship matrix. Ha ha, that's a good one. Red pill or blue pill, you choose. Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you, Wendell. I was like trying to struggle. I was like, man, listen, we gonna throw everything but the kitchen sink up in this next one. Matter of fact, I ain't even gonna play no music. We just got to get to it. because we know we just going to go in with everything because we got all the bases covered and everything else like that. But matter of fact, because Danielle dropped, Elsie dropped, and it's getting to the point when it's a school night, and I was supposed to do something like half an hour ago, and I'm probably going to have to take some more cough medicine because my damn cousin's trying to kill me, making me laugh. It's fucked up because I see his face when he said it. Like the way he said, I said, no, exactly what the hell he looked like when he said that shit. That's what made me laugh. But listen, it's been a fan, not to cut anybody else off, but I do have to go. It's a school night, and you know I'm coughing up the lung and all this other stuff, ready. But listen, it's been a fantastic night. Sorry to the drip for not coming. You know, I know there was something going on. I know it was Feminism 101 that was happening. And that was going, you know, it was already dope. I was looking at the numbers. So y'all was over there doing y'all thing. I know y'all was. Probably still are. But I want to thank everybody that came out tonight, this evening, that rocked with us. Thanks for everybody that comes in that supports Pimpin' Radio Universe, you know, a For Real Entertainment Network. I would ask fans, but I guess everybody's like under the weather and sick and everything else, and it's raining, it's crazy around here, but I have a great debt of gratitude to everybody who shows up here every Tuesday and rocks out with me. Y'all are the most amazing people. I feel like I'm smarter for it. I feel like I surround myself with really smart people. That really do things and have a great amount of wisdom, and I'm thankful for everyone who came. I'm thankful for everyone who came, participated, listened, and did everything else. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for, which the War Council doesn't know, for influencing people. We've had some unique interactions with people who I've never seen before, numbers I've never seen before come in and actually listening to us, which is really, like, dope to me because I didn't really do a lot of advertising. I just didn't. So to have unique touches tells me that somewhere out there people are actually listening to what we're saying and they're actually coming to the station and calling in and not just streaming. We get a lot of people stream and ask questions and do different things, but the beauty of all of it is that it's the energy that we put together as a conscious creative community as a panel to answer these questions. And the beauty of it is that we're sharing ourselves and we're bearing our souls so that we give permission to others to do the same. So I'm always thankful for that. So thank y'all for everything. All right? Ladies and gentlemen.
You got it.
Hello.
Yeah. Right.
You got it, bro. Most definitely.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
True love from my heart. True love from my heart for every single one of you. And I'm glad to be surrounded by people that are so brilliant, so beautiful, and so bright. It's an amazing thing. And in this portion of my life, I could not be more thankful for anything else that's greater. So thank y'all for coming. God bless. Everybody rocking. Shout out to every single person because I definitely have to go. And we have to get this going. tomorrow night is Love Zone. I don't know what the topic is because both of the Philly Jones is off. Thursday is the Get Down. I do not know what's happening. J-Rob, do you have the topic?
Oh, man, I always have the topic. And
okay,
and
what's the topic?
Just give me a second, good brother. I strictly just want people to come through. Me and Van got something special planned for people for the next couple of weeks. So when you do take a chance to come to the Get Down, especially tomorrow night, the topic of conversation is going to be, what did he say again? Oh, what if poetry married me? So finish this line. With this poem, I thee wed. And then continue from there.
Oh, man, I got all this love things going on. Yeah. Y'all wildin'. Let me stop. Y'all wildin'. All this love stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, but thank y'all for coming. God bless y'all. Good night.
Good night.
Peace, family.
Thank you. Oh, yo, and Wendell, you having a breakfast, birthday brunch or whatever with the people was wild. he was like these good people. I was like, yo. I said this dude can make friends anywhere.
Anyway,
my man.
All right.
All right, bro.
All right, good night, y'all. All right. Good night.